You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeyes fans? Welcome back to an episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Friday, May 7th in the year 2021. And on this feel good Friday here on the podcast, we're going to continue talking about those Buckeyes that have new homes. Today, it's all about Trey Sermon and Justin Hilliard. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at JStevens07. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter as well at Locked On Buckeye. Lineup for today, we will be joined by Mr. Brian Peacock, the host of Locked On 49ers. Brian is also half of the team that makes up the Peacock and Williamson NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Brian and I talk about Trey Sermon, how he'll fit into the 49ers offense, little Justin Hilliard, how or if he will be utilized by San Francisco in the upcoming season. We also talk a little Justin Fields towards the end. He wanted to talk a little Justin Fields, Trey Lance comparison, and we do touch on that right before we wrap up our conversation. So I'm going to back away. Bring in Brian Peacock and just enjoy, sit back, relax, enjoy the conversation as we talk Sermon, Hilliard, and Fields. And joining us now, continuing this trend of bringing hosts from the Locked On NFL family on the Locked On Podcast Network on to Locked On Buckeyes to help us learn more about what former Buckeyes will be doing with their new teams. It is Brian Peacock, not only the host of Locked On 49ers, but also part of the Peacock and Williamson podcast. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's my first time here on Locked On Buckeyes. I'm excited for it. Yeah. And pretty pumped for a couple of new Buckeyes that are on the 49ers.
I'm happy you're here. I'm very excited. I do a show with Ben Stevens every single Monday, and he said you were going to be on his show. I think it was last week, a week before. So I was like, man, well, he got Brian. I got to reach out to him as well. And Brian, this draft was interesting for certain Ohio State players. Some fell. Some went higher than expected. But then there are some that I think, when you think of a Trey Sermon, he went to a perfect spot for him, his skill set, and what that team has. When you first heard, when you heard that the 49ers were going to draft Trey Sermon, what went into your mind?
Oh, it was a few things. First of all, when it comes to the NFL, which is obviously different than the college level, running back value is a little bit lower. And I was thinking, oh no, Shanahan's going to move up for another running back, because he did that in their first draft in 2017. They went up in the fourth round to get, now I can't remember his name because he never played in the NFL, Williams. I'm blanking on his name, out of Utah. He bounced around to a couple different colleges, had some, you know, character issues, quit on his team in college. They traded up to get him because Shanahan loved his tape. He's like, this is my guy. I won't be able to sleep if we don't draft this guy. And he never played a snap in the NFL. And I was like, oh no, Shanahan's got another pet project. They just let him trade three first round picks to go get Trey Lance in the first round. They're moving up again now to let him go get a running back. So Shanahan gets to use all the draft picks he wants on whatever he needs, which is, you know, good and bad in a lot of cases. But when they moved up to get Trey Sermon, I thought, wow, okay, first of all, not a need. I did not expect them to be targeting a running back early and to be spending resources on it, because they had a pretty full running back room already. They had Raheem Mostert, who's one of the fastest dudes in the NFL and leads the league in yards per carry under Kyle Shanahan, but you know, he's got some injury history and may not be a bell cow type of a back. And then, you know, there's some solid depth on the roster. They just added Wayne Gallman. I thought it's pretty full room. I don't see running back being a pick. But then as soon as they move up and draft a guy and you draft a running back in the third round, I mean, in the NFL, that's where you draft starting running backs. And Trey Sermon obviously has a nice resume and is a fantastic player. And he's very different than what the 49ers have had recently. And when you see Shanahan go up to get someone like Trey Sermon, you realize, okay, he wants the bell cow. He wants the guy that has a little bit more size, 6 feet, 215, that can maybe carry the load a little bit more and maybe puts them in better down and distance situations. Then you can hit some home runs with some faster backs and do what you need to do in the passing game as well. And on top of it, adding a big guard in Aaron Banks in round two and another guard on day three and another running back, it's pretty clear that you draft a young quarterback and you want to help him by protecting him with your offensive line, tons of resources spent there in free agency and now in the draft, and you want to be able to run the football to protect your young quarterback as well. So once you saw the entire draft finish, you realize, okay, the 49ers are going to do everything they can to protect their investment and allow their 20-year-old quarterback in Trey Lance to develop slowly behind a really good offensive line and a good running game.
You know, when I was thinking about Trey Sermon, where he could go, I didn't really have a team he could go to. The one knock I had was just his injury history, injury concern, going from his days at Oklahoma, really kind of getting slow and recovering early on preseason at Ohio State, and then broken collarbone, I believe, in the national championship game. I was kind of worried about his injury history was going to be why he fell. But then at the same time, I was kind of excited for whoever he went to because he doesn't have the normal wear and tear of your starting running back. At Oklahoma, he didn't have all the carries, 250, 300 carries that some guys get in college. Ohio State split time with Master Teague latter part of the season. You saw him kind of take over as RB1 and played phenomenal down the stretch. But then now you think about the 49ers, this could have been a better spot for him to go to because he won't be asked to start and take on a bulk of the carries as soon as he goes there and starts playing football.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think it's going to frustrate fantasy football players for one, because you want a Shanahan running back, but there's not going to be a clear leader there in carries and touches for that backfield. But Trey Sermon doesn't have to jump in and be the number one guy. He can be sort of the bigger back and a chain moving type of running back and come in slowly. And he might even be the fourth running back on day one and have to climb that depth chart and pass up Gallman, who's more of a passing down back. And back, and actually the guy who has the closest similarity to him on the roster is a guy who's played really well for the 49ers. And he's been somebody that is, you know, behind Mostert, has been someone that is like, runs angry, has some size, and is more of a player that really, if you are trying to put together, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. If you're trying to put together a depth chart and you're trying to say, okay, this is how we want to draw it up. We've got this guy who's small and fast and this guy who's big, but maybe slower. And how are we trying to try to divvy up the carries in this offense? I think Raheem Mostert's earned the right, even though he's proven he's probably not going to be someone who's going to get the full load of carries. He's just such a dynamic freak and can hit these home runs. And he's going to be the number one back. But I think he's going to be a 1A, 1B, maybe 1C situation. And the guy who's probably closest stylistically to Trey Sermon is Jeff Wilson. Runs angry, similar 6 feet tall, 210 pounds, 215, and can be a hammer, but has some pretty good feet, can give you a little something in the passing game, and is a solid 1-2 there with Mostert. And it's interesting because the two players the 49ers drafted, Trey Sermon and then Elijah Mitchell out of Louisiana, are, again, similar to those two guys, where you have Sermon, who's the bigger back, but still has good feet, can still do some other things for you in your offense, isn't just an early down plotter or anything. And then you have the faster 4-3 guy in Elijah Mitchell that you drafted in the third round that can be a home run hitter, but also can bring a little thump as well and isn't just, a diminutive little guy. So when it all comes together, it's going to be some obvious training camp battles for the order that these guys line up in the depth chart. But I think when you look ahead at Mostert in the last year of his contract, Jeff Wilson entering the last year of his contract, I think they'll be the two main contributors, and Sermon's going to have to fight for those carries and be the three, then maybe jump up and be the two, then maybe eventually be the one, maybe next year, and you see Elijah Mitchell and Trey Sermon then in a very similar type of role, but maybe flipped, having Sermon the one, Elijah Mitchell being the two, if they don't bring those guys back. So they're very similar stylistically to the two guys the 49ers have at the top of their depth chart right now. So it's going to be fun in training camp to see, first of all, who makes the roster, because they also had the undrafted free agent last year, Jermichael Hasty. So there's a ton of guys that could actually contribute to this team. And there's been a ton of injuries on this roster. The 49ers want to make sure they've got healthy running backs and they want to be able to run the football. I think that's clear. And any of these guys are capable.
Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. You get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC/MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline.ag on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device, and when you sign up today, make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and it's all one word, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sports book experts. I'm curious, you mentioned the injury history and it was already on my mind. Are you worried about the injury history that Sermon has that he's bringing to San Francisco?
Almost every other player the 49ers drafted this year has almost near perfect injury history, right? Aaron Banks, the second round pick, hadn't missed a game in, I think, his entire college career, and just rock solid. And so maybe they felt, okay, we liked Sermon enough. We're not going to worry too much about the injuries here just because we know that running backs get hurt, and we're just going to have five of them and we're going to be okay because we're going to have a healthy back because we're going to keep as many as we can on the roster, and he's too talented for us to pass. But it was a surprise. It was a surprise because of how deep the roster is, and it was a surprise because of his injury history that the 49ers went down that route because, man, John Lynch even said after the draft that they absolutely changed their philosophy in the draft as far as injuries, the types of injuries. And maybe that's part of it, where it doesn't seem like an injury history that will linger and follow him into the NFL. Maybe that's part of it as well. But they did change their philosophy on how they evaluate injured players coming from the college to the pros. And they really had no choice other than to do that because they've just been demolished by injuries recently.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man. I'm curious as well for those Buckeye fans that don't know about the Kyle Shanahan offense or the running style or the running game that the 49ers have. Could you explain the running style and also how Trey Sermon fits into what the 49ers do on offense?
Yeah, and I don't watch a ton of college football. Every time I watch college football, it's almost always through the lens of, okay, who in this game is going to play in the NFL? And I'm kind of got my scout hat on when I watch college football. I don't have a lot of time to watch on Saturdays. It's like my one day off during the week. And my wife is like, no, come on. There's got to be one day where there's no football, no podcast. And I was like, all right, well, I guess Saturday is the only day. So I don't get to watch as much college football as I used to, but I know there's a lot of zone concepts in the Buckeyes offense. And when you look at the Pro Football Focus grades, and Trey Sermon graded out very well on zone runs. And that's Kyle Shanahan's bread and butter, is that wide zone, that stretch zone, and you get everybody moving one way and you find that one cut, that one hole, and the running back hits it. And that's why those running backs with speed, it tends to be a big play running game for the 49ers, because they can hit those home runs, and then you can work counters off of that. You can work the play action boot game off of that. And that's just been the Kyle Shanahan staple, and you know, that zone running scheme dating back to his father, Mike Shanahan, as well. And the thing that impressed me about Trey Sermon, he doesn't have that top end speed. I think he ran maybe a 4.6 at his pro day, and he still rips off some pretty big runs, and he's dynamic in a short area for a big man. He's got great feet. He's got flexible ankles. You know, he can dip his hips low to the ground. He had a really good 10-yard split on his 40-yard dash. And so I think that's one of the keys. The 49ers run game has been a big play run game, but I think they wanted to add more of an element of a chain moving run game too, because at times they've made big plays and their yards per carry is great, but they haven't really rolled through first downs as much as an offense as I think they want to going forward. So I think that was a big key with bringing in a running back like Trey Sermon and some of the offensive linemen they've brought in as well, who are zone fits, but maybe bigger, more powerful, to be better in those short yardage situations as well.
Not only did the 49ers get Sermon, that was the only draft pick that the 49ers had. They also got a guy in Justin Hilliard, undrafted free agent. You talk about an injury history, man, injury after injury after injury. And I think I saw that he got a pretty, well, hefty undrafted free agent contract that he got. I don't know all the numbers to it, but I did see something on Twitter saying that this was pretty hefty for undrafted free agents. I am just curious, and my hope, now this may just be the Ohio State guy in me, this may be the human in me, I hope the injury concerns are behind him and he can just play football. But with a guy like that having that history, yeah, he has some flashes of some good plays this past season, but it wasn't consistent because he wasn't the starting linebacker. He only got to start or play due to an injury or to COVID concerns because players couldn't play. So I'm curious how year one might go for him. I'm expecting a lot of special teams from Justin Hilliard. I'm not sure what you're expecting from him in year one in San Fran.
Yeah, that absolutely. Special teams for sure. He's not going to be on the roster if he's not playing special teams. And I know he's been a core special teamer, and I think that's what he's going to have to do. And he has the, I think he has the right temperament. Like this guy, I hadn't watched much of Justin Hilliard until the 49ers signed him as an undrafted free agent. And I was like, okay, well, he has a motor at least. He's nonstop all the time. And absolutely, he's going to have to make the team as a special teams player, and you might have to go to the practice squad first if he sticks on the roster, but they liked him enough. Yeah, you're right. They gave him a $30,000 bonus, and I think they guaranteed $95,000 of his contract as well, which is, you know, it's not nothing, but they actually gave almost the identical guarantees to another linebacker, Elijah Sullivan as well, who's another maybe a little undersized linebacker. So he's got his work cut out for him, because that was another undrafted free agent. And then they signed Hufanga in the sixth round from USC, who's maybe a bigger safety. And I wonder if all those guys are fighting for the same roles, core special teams player, maybe big nickel linebacker, someone who's not counted on as a starting style linebacker, but someone who can play on third downs, someone who can bring energy, someone who can play in a dime linebacker type of a role. So I think that's the style of player they're looking for. And there's going to be a ton of competition at the bottom of the roster for that type of player. And with Hilliard, it's really unfortunate with his injuries. I'm sure he would have been, you know, a much bigger contributor to Ohio State and probably drafted if it wasn't for all those injuries. But that's frightening. I think it was two or maybe even three biceps, right? Both biceps.
I'm pretty sure it was two
at some point. And then an Achilles and a meniscus. And you can see why maybe his athleticism isn't what it once was as a five-star recruit. I think he ran a 4.8 40, and he's undersized as it is, 6 feet, 229 pounds. But he's shaped a lot like, and when you see a style of play, it really reminded me of a guy that they hit who's a starting linebacker now a couple of years ago in the draft, Dre Greenlaw out of Arkansas. Dre Greenlaw is similarly shaped and has that same temperament. So I see a lot of him in that. And I think if he can be over his injuries, he can absolutely carve out a little role with the 49ers first on special teams and maybe working in. But I liked, even though he's not super athletic, I like the way he plays on third downs. He can rush a little bit. At the Senior Bowl, he was really good in one-on-ones, beating guys to the quarterback, beating running backs in pass protection. He can cover a little bit, had a nice interception. I think it was against Northwestern I saw. So he's a good player and brings a lot of energy, and the injuries were unfortunate. I saw a crazy note, and you could probably talk about this. He was a five-star coming into Ohio State, right, and ranked ahead of, in the same recruiting class, Joe Burrow and Denzel Ward. That's crazy. Like, that's big-time talent coming into college.
That is insane. I know Joe Burrow coming in out of high school, I know he was a two-sport athlete, basketball, football, was a good quarterback. And I went back, I didn't watch a whole lot of film from him in high school, but his numbers jump off the charts. So Hilliard being ranked higher than them two, that's crazy to think about, and just seeing what those two did in college, the Burrow and then Ward, then what they're doing now in the NFL. It's just amazing to think about that little jump that happened when one guy fell due to injury, the other two's careers just jumped up. There's a good chance you're a person like me that loves, and I mean loves, a good protein bar. The problem we tend to have is that we don't know which way to go. We try one, it doesn't taste good. We find one that tastes good, the macros don't hit just right. Well, guys, I have ended my search, and I thoroughly encourage you to consider ending yours as well. Because Built Bars are great for the health-conscious guy. They'll also help you lose and maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they're also great for the keto diet. And one interesting detail about most Built Bars is they're covered in 100% chocolate. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, L-O-C-K-E-D-1-5, and you will get 15% off your next order. Once again, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com.
Yeah, ended up being top five picks in the NFL draft, one number one overall. So that's fascinating. And I'm always blown away by that, by how, and you have a guy on the opposite end of the spectrum, Trey Lance, the team's trading up to the number three pick to draft a guy that couldn't even go play quarterback at his home state Minnesota football team, had to go to FCS school just to play quarterback. And then you have guys who are five-star recruits that fall through the cracks, that get hurt, or they're just bad, don't have, you know, the work ethic for it. So it's pretty amazing. And you see it in the NFL draft as well. Some guys go undrafted, become stars. Some guys get drafted late, become stars. Some guys get drafted number one overall and bust and are out of the league in a couple of years. So it's fascinating. And it's really just a testament. And I think it's one of the really cool things about Justin Hilliard. It's a great lesson that, you know, to persevere through all that. You never know what, and Trey Lance too. You never know what other people are going to think about you. You never know what your path is going to take, but both of those guys, it ended very differently, but they came out the other side. And I think it bodes well for them in the NFL.
Absolutely. I know you know off air, you mentioned some things about Justin Fields and maybe a Trey Lance little connection. I know you had a couple thoughts, or maybe you wanted to throw my way about the Fields quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. And 49ers fans are going to be listening to this as well. And a lot of them were really into Fields. And I had Fields just a little bit over Trey Lance. And I like Trey Lance a lot. And I thought he was the next guy if it wasn't going to be Fields for the 49ers with the third pick in the draft. But seeing him fall out of the top 10, his tape looked like he was going to be a top 10 lock to me. Just too much talent. His downfield accuracy with his arm is just wow. He's a 4-4 guy. He seems like a leader. His competitive toughness, seeing the way he stayed in the game and beat Clemson, like talent through the roof. I'm wondering if you have insight and if you were surprised to see him slide a little bit and surprised that he wasn't one of the top three picks in the draft.
Absolutely. The noise and the talk leading up to the draft saying it was going to be Lawrence 1, Wilson 2, Lance or Jones 3. I get all of the talk. I don't know where the whole Zach Wilson love came from. I have no idea. Mac Jones, it makes a whole lot of sense for him to be a really good quarterback based off how the Alabama offense ran last year. The offense looked a whole lot better to me than it did under Tua the previous couple years. So there were some things I like about Mac Jones, but people are just forgetting the kind of quarterback Justin Fields is. There are knocks in his game. Myself, personally, I had him very close with Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance processes things very, very quickly at an elite level, and which is why he played at North Dakota State, a powerhouse in the FCS level, and so it made a whole lot of sense. I can't stay home. How about I go one level down to the very best school that's putting guys into the NFL, and lo and behold, number 3 overall pick. So Buckeye fans, they all fall in love. Fields is going to be this. Fields is going to be that. I don't like to predict what's going to happen because guys haven't played a game at that level yet. So me saying, well, he's going to be a day one starter or he's going to do this his rookie year, I back away from those conversations because myself, I don't feel comfortable projecting what they haven't done at that level just yet. Give me 2 or 3 years. I'll tell you how I think Fields' career might go down the road. But I do understand why Fields did it. Why Fields went after Lance. I didn't think he was going to be the number 11 overall pick. I thought top 10 for sure. I projected the Patriots moving up into the top 10 to get him. That didn't happen. The Bears moved up to get Fields at 11. So I was kind of curious. Didn't make sense. The whole fall didn't make sense because you look at a lot of big boards, he's number 3 or number 4, and then he's falling to 11. I think a lot of smart people are overthinking what Fields' career might be.
Was there any other off-field stuff, any rumors around campus, anything that was beyond football scouting that maybe could have caused him to fall a little bit? Because there seemed to be some stuff out there, and I was like, I don't know. This guy seems like a leader. Seems like he was fighting for his entire conference to even have a season. He seemed like absolutely the type of character that you would want on your football team. Is there anything out there that you've heard that maybe could be part of the reason why he fell?
You know, Brian, I've been asking myself that question, asking if there's anything else that I've heard that makes sense, anything they're saying, articles or TV or radio that makes sense as far as not. No, I have not found anything. You knock his work ethic, Ryan Day goes against that. You knock his leadership, talk to his teammates, talk to his coaches. Family upbringing, from what I have read, he comes from a very solid family. Dad, I think, was former military, so he has a military-esque style of raising his kids, which is why I think Justin Fields is the leader and the competitor that he is, because his dad's like, look, no matter what happens, you got to keep fighting. You got to keep going. And we saw that in the Clemson game, national semifinal, one big hit, big blow. And Justin Fields, we saw what he did after that. So no, a lot of the knocks that I personally had, I didn't hear those from a lot of people. So I don't understand the slide. And when you can't test medicals in your normal way, maybe something could have come up medically, but you couldn't test it your traditional way. So I don't know what it was. I just think that some executives were kind of saying things to try to get Fields to fall, and he ultimately fell. And there may be guys that were like, well, I wanted Fields, but they said this. We're going to find out very soon if what was said is true or false.
Yeah, the Chicago Bears were out there saying, probably saying most of it, right? And it's like, hey, look, look who fell. Look who's actually squeaky clean off the field and fell to us at pick 11, and we went up and got him. Perfect. So, no, that's awesome. And this class is going to be fascinating, kind of like it was in the 2018 draft, to see where all five of these first-round picks end up in their careers and how they play and who plays well early. And I'm sure someone's going to look bad early and be great later, and it might be the opposite for some other players. So a fascinating class, a fascinating draft, super fun. And, yeah, it was awesome chatting with you and getting to know some of these Buckeyes players a little bit better.
Yes, sir, Brian, it has been. If you could, let Buckeye fans know where they can connect with you via social media and then listen to your shows as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm at BD Peacock on Twitter. You can find Locked On 49ers daily in all your podcast apps. You can also find the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Me and former NFL scout Matt Williamson are doing a daily podcast on the entire NFL, all right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
And Buckeye fans, 49ers fans, you guys can always also follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. That is Stevens with a PH. Buckeye fans, come back next week. We'll continue this trend, have more hosts from the Locked On NFL family right here on this show to let us know more about how former Buckeyes will look with their new teams.